I'll probably end up having like, I don't know if you want to have like your social medias at the bottom and everything.
Oh, yeah, sure. We can like put that in later. I'll send you the list of like two.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah, like I'm just trying to like, I don't know, I like to be able to support people that are on the channel and, you know, just have like links and stuff. So I just, you know, it's cool to just
Yeah, that
have.
is really nice.
Yeah, totally. Well, sweet. Yeah, so I guess like what have you been, you've been doing this for about a year then?
Yeah, for just about a year. Like sometimes when people start out, they do like little fan projects and stuff. That's how I started out. And then after that, I was like, okay, but what if I tried something a little spicy? So I went for like my first original project, and it was like, oh my God, this podcast is so cool. And it has like an IMDb page, so I was like, it would be my first IMDb credit.
Okay.
So then I go, and then I pray and I hope so hard, and then I wake up and I get the message from the director, and I'm like, so sometimes that like pure ecstasy just drives you to keep going. So from then on, I was like, okay, it's time to get into like indie everythings. And then like a couple weeks later, I got into like my first couple of indie games. They're mostly like visual novels, because visual novels are I'm very attached to them. Visual
Yeah.
novels are much more feasible to create than like a full-on 3D RPG. As someone who's working on my own visual novel and someone who's working on the art for a 2D side-scroller, a visual
Oh,
novel is definitely way more feasible than like a full-on RPG most of the time.
sure, yeah.
Unless you're being very ambitious, which happens.
It happens to the best
Yeah.
of us. Ambitious projects. It's hard. Sometimes it's really hard to scope down. It's like where you don't realize the breadth of what you're wanting to do, you know?
Yeah, you're just like, oh, I want to have like a little drawing mini game in this. And then my programmer's like, you do realize I basically have to program like MS Paint into like RenPy, right? And I was like, sorry. I'm so sorry.
That's
Just like, nah, it's fine. It's a challenge.
cool. That's a good programmer to have. So you are trying to, you're in the game space as well as voice acting space. Like, do you have a kind of like preference of like what you like doing more for work and stuff?
In terms of like work that I actually get paid for regularly, it's
Yeah.
definitely the voiceover work, because I do a lot, mostly character work. I have like some narration work somewhere floating around out there, and I'm trying to get into commercial work. So I guess in a couple of like weeks or years, if you hear me in some YouTube commercial, hi. But yeah, there's like a couple different avenues you can go down instead of just sticking to one. Some people stick to one because they really want to, but I
Yeah.
kind of like branching out. So that's definitely like my main source of stuff. My
Okay.
second one is mostly like my visual art sort of thing, because I've been a visual artist for like 7 years as opposed to 1 year as a voice actor.
Very cool.
So that's definitely a big thing. And the whole game dev thing was quite spontaneous, because I was like to a friend who's a writer, I was like, so, have you ever thought about writing a visual novel? So that's kind of how it happened.
Awesome.
So that part's definitely very new to me. So I gotta get into it. And actually, most of the people that I know for like game dev stuff, I know them through like game jams, because you
Cool.
have a lot of jams going throughout like the months. And if you're like a voice actor and a logo designer, because I design a bunch of logos for like game jam games so that I can get into the servers and like know people.
That's cool,
If
yeah.
your time commitment is relatively low compared to, let's say, like a writer or like the character sprite artist, God forbid, you
Yeah.
can meet it. You can get into a lot more jams a lot faster and get your part of the jam done a lot more efficiently, and then meet more people, and as a consequence, find some really cool people.
That's cool. That's really cool. So how many like you've done a lot of game jams and like or just, yeah, to meet like to network and
Yeah.
everything. It's a good way to network, you think?
It's also good to have like credits and stuff, because like
Yeah.
some game jam games are so pretty. Every single one that I've worked on has been gorgeous. So the first game jam that I did was NaNoWriNo 2022.
Okay.
So that one had like the Tales of Grumville, and then that one came out on the Google Play Store, and I was like, This is great. I've never had a mobile game.
That's fun.
And that was like, yeah, I know. So that was when I was like, okay, game jams, I need to keep my eye on them. So every time there's been like a new sort of like major jam, I'd like try to market myself a little more, like, oh, I can give you a little logo, give you a
Totally.
little voice acting if you want.
Yeah, game jams are a great way for a lot of different things. Actually, we had a person that was like doing music. He was like doing just different. He like worked on every single project of the jam that we were at, and that was really cool. Like he was like, I want my name on all these games.
Oh my
And he just
gosh.
worked tirelessly like the entire time just to make all the different compositions. It was impressive, but like.
Composers scare me. Like, I went to music school for 1 year when I was 13, and then they made us do composition, and I was like, people do this for a living? Oh God. But yeah, composers scare me, and I love them.
Yeah, it needs to get done. And it's just like it's cool that people are willing to do it, and like I don't know, yeah, like game jams have been definitely a really cool way to like meet people and to get into different positions and everything. Like how many voice acting like roles have you had like in the past, like the past like
From
year or
game
so,
jams.
or just in general? Yeah.
Oh, in general.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a harder question.
Yes.
I'm like very big into organization, so I actually like noted all of this down. And I think in terms of individual time, someone said, "Hi, I would like you to do a thing for me." I think that number is, I won't say the exact number, but it's like slightly over 100.
Okay. Hey, that's good.
So, I mean, that's like character roles, so it kind of depends on like what you're doing, 'cause most of these are
Yeah.
like one-off. You do, maybe your character appears in like one season, you work on the audio drama, the animated series, the game, whatever it is,
Yeah.
for like this number of weeks, this number of months, and you like wait for your next lines. 'Cause
Right.
like voiceover work, there's a massive gap in between like when you record for things and when they come out and when you actually do them. 'Cause I was cast for an indie game months ago at this point, and they're like, yeah, this script is like barely existent, so you're probably gonna be idle for like the next year or like
Wow.
18 months or 2 years. And I was like, cool.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, sometimes there's a massive lag time, so you can always like, if you audition like 10 times every day, it's not like you'll ever be too busy to try and get more work, you know? It's
Sure.
not like art where you can get like 7 commissions at the same time and then suddenly you're dead for like the next 3 months and you're like, ah, this hurts my hand.
That's cool. So you kind of like you have like scattered roles that can be like if they are spotty, then you can have like roles in between and that kind of thing.
Exactly, yeah. You can sort of
Yeah.
stagger it out. So game jams are like a really fun way to have like some stuff that you complete in a short amount of time, and you have something to show for it as well, because a lot of voice actors when they're starting out, they're like, I need a resume, I need like all of these different things. So game jams actually act as like massive resume builders for a lot of
Yeah.
people, me included. Like one that I did for Otome Jam was like Mythic Meetup, and that actually ended up being, they got like 1,000 downloads really quickly, and I was like, oh, what the hell?
That's cool.
So it's good for like building up all these things, because if any casting director looks at your resume, they're just gonna see the game there. Like, they don't care if you were paid for it or not, as long as it looks good. Looks and sounds good.
So, when we were talking on Twitter for a little bit, you were kind of saying that you had some good and bad experiences and everything that you might want to like talk about and everything,
Oh, very
like,
much so. Okay,
yeah.
so if you are a new talent and you want to get into games and stuff because they're so cool, and honestly, I sympathize, there are a few things that you really have to watch out for. So first thing is people who run like no-profit projects, they don't pay anyone, they don't get paid, but they ask too much of you. Like, I've gotten a project where it was completely free, like nothing was happening financially at all. And I got asked for like 5 rounds of retakes. Usually there's one round, by the way, so this is like five times the
Wow.
normal amounts of back and forth. And it takes quite a lot of time as well, because like you're usually given a 2 to 4 week period to like record all your lines at first, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then like maybe the director receives them all, goes through them, maybe that takes another 1 to 2 weeks, and then goes, okay, X, X, and X need to do retakes. And then like I get the retakes back and I'm like, oh, cool, okay, so you didn't write any of the line direction down in the actual script, and you just kind of expected me to like look into your brain to see what you wanted me exactly to do. Because I was doing these retakes, and these were such specific line directions that I would have to, like, send back and forth the same line over, like, multiple months. Like, four times. And then he'd be like, okay, let's do this line, but, like, can you make it slightly more dead at this specific part of the sentence? And I was like, my brother in Christ, you're not paying me for this. Please, just... like, let your actor interpret the lines. I'm begging you.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just have to leave a bit of room for interpretation, because that's where some of the fun comes from. Another one is if they ask too much of you. Now, a really common thing that I actually quite like sometimes, especially for game jams, is when they're like, hi, you got cast for something. Here's the Discord server. You can talk to your fellow castmates and stuff. And this is how I met a lot of people first getting into... all of this online voice acting stuff, which is great.
Cool.
However, sometimes they'll expect too much participation of you.
Yeah.
Like, I had this project where the director was always just like, oh, general chat's kind of dead. I'm really sad. And then he would just, like, plaster it everywhere on his, like, status and everything and, like, guilt trip people into talking to him out of, like, pity. And it was just not a good look. Like, this wasn't a kid. I'm very sure this was, like, a grown man.
Mm.
And this project, this was like my first like 3 months into voice acting or something. It was an original project, so I was like, I might as well. And the friend who got me into it was like someone really experienced, and I like really looked up to them. So I was like, oh, I trust them. It'll be fine. And then I get in there and I'm like, so this, it was not disclosed to me that this project had some not safe for work elements.
Oh.
Cool.
Okay.
Like, the voice actors didn't have to do anything different, but, like, a lot of art was made of the characters, and it was, like, exploitative?
Sure, sure.
Let's say that. And there was, like, at least one minor working on the project at the time. Multiple minors. There was, like, one writer, and I think one or two of the voice actors or whatever. Like, their characters weren't sexualized in the same way, but all the same, it's still kind of uncomfortable.
Sure.
You know?
Yeah.
So if you have these elements to your game in any respect whatsoever, even if the actors aren't like, even if they don't need to like make the sounds, even if the art is sort of like that, or the story sort of has like suggestive themes like that, you need to disclose that, you know?
No, yeah.
You can't just say that. And at that same project as well, the management was just horrible. They were like, oh yeah, so who's gonna do this thing? We're gonna pay all the artists but none of the voice actors, and also we're gonna have this like kid who's also writing it saying that no one cares about the project, even though everyone has to put in extra hours into everything because the director is very demanding of it. And that started like so much crap in like December of last year, and I was just reading it while at my family home, and I was like, no, this is bad. And there was even a case where a voice actor sent in their lines, and then someone was like, ooh, that's so hot, I'm getting turned on right now. And it was like the most uncomfortable, ungodly thing ever. And the director was just like, we forgive you. And I'm like, who is forgiving him? None of us said that. So if you see any of that, just get out. It's not worth putting up with. Just don't do it. There are a lot of better run projects where the director's just like, oh, hey, yeah, so this character has this story, and I saw that you have experiences that like that as well. For example, I had a character... it was that same jam. It was Mythic Meetup, where the character was of Chinese origin, and I'm, like, Singaporean Chinese, so it makes sense. It was just like, oh, yeah, these are, like, relatable stories. This is how it's going to, like, play into the larger plot.
Mm-hmm.
These are the parts you're missing because you're only doing the video calls, and there's, like, a bunch of text message segments in between. And, like, it was nice. It was informative. The live direction sessions were actually really fun. I got to speak my mother tongue. That was great. So working on, like, a well-managed project is, like, the best experience ever.
Yeah.
So if you're in a not very well managed project, please don't feel like you're obligated to stay, because you're not. And also, the earlier you get out, the better. Don't wait like 2 months like what I did, because I was new and I was like, oh, I feel bad. They just found me. No, stop. just don't go there. It's dangerous. Sorry, oh, I just rambled for like 5 minutes.
No, that's okay. That's okay. No, this is cool. No, I think it's good to know, like, the, because I guess, like, it makes a lot of sense that you would need to disclose that kind of information about not safe for work kind of stuff, especially you may not be comfortable with that kind of stuff. And, like, even if you were, like, who's to know unless you even, like, let them know ahead of time. And just in general, that just doesn't sound like good behavior as well, the other stuff you're talking about. Like, just as far as, like, yeah, the comments about that, I feel like that's just kind of, yeah, harassment and everything at that point. So I don't know.
Yeah, just say, just, oh, it sounds good.
Yeah.
Oh, I really liked this part. Just don't keep it professional, please. As much as voice acting is like an art, a passion, a hobby for so many people, you're still interacting in a more professional setting than you would otherwise. Like, maybe it's fine if you're all friends. Like, I have directors that I'm very much friends with, and I'm like, oh yeah, check this out. This is hilarious. Like, but you can't do that if you're in the public professional setting, you know?
Yeah.
Even if it's like a hobby project, even if it's unpaid, even if it's like whatever, just be kind. Just be understanding that people aren't always looking to get harassed.
Yeah, right. Definitely. I guess as far as gigs that weren't suggested to you, or gigs that weren't from game jams, like, did you have a wave that, like, you would suggest people find work and everything? Like, is there...
Oh, okay. Yeah. I can definitely... Sorry, I cut the
intro. No, you're fine. That was pretty much it.
But, yeah. If you're starting out, there's, like, a site called Casting Call Club that I started out with very briefly. The projects on there can be a bit spotty sometimes. Like, it's very much known for, like, the Roblox, Minecraft, gacha roleplays, whatever, but if you sift through all that, there's actually some very good stuff on there, like The Strata, which is a very big podcast. I think it was like top 3 in several countries or something like that. They cast off Casting Call Club, and they also run like public auditions off their Twitter page. You can Sweet. Oh yeah, Twitter's massive.
Twitter,
you can get a lot of stuff on there. Actually, I have my list of auditions right here. Like, sometimes individual artists will have comics that they will have, like, drawn stuff that they want voiced, or, like, you know, people who make games have stuff that they want, want voiced. Like, my friend who runs Transparent Games casts off, like, demo reels on Twitter. If you don't have a demo reel, they have, like, regular casting calls as well. That's what I did for quite a while. You can also find a lot of, most of the ones that you'll find are, like, either podcasts, games, or animation. Animation is a gold mine. I can never find that many animation auditions, so they're always like swarmed with people. So there's VA Casting Retweet, which is like all the paid work, and then there's Unpaid Retweet, which is all the unpaid work that you can use to build up your resume, and it's all good. You can also look for it in Discord servers. Like, there's the VAC Discord server run by Kira Buckland, who's absolutely lovely. I love him.
That's cool.
And there's like a paid casting call section, unpaid, original, unpaid, so on and so forth. There's a bunch of them like this, and they're very, very publicly available. And if you want like the full list, I can like send you all of the ones that I'm in.
That would be awesome, actually. Yeah, I would love to have that in the description just for people to see it. Yeah.
Yeah, just for people to check it out.
Totally. I appreciate that. Yeah, like, I mean, when I was wanting, you know, one of my characters to voice and everything, I just, like, did a Twitter shout-out and everything. It's like, hey, you know.
It's like, if you ask for demo reels, you get, like, 200 replies in 2 seconds, and
yeah,
I'm Australian, so I always wake up late for those. They're always, like, 16 hours ago, and my friend's just like, go, 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 and I'm like, ah, what do you mean? What is this?
That's funny. Yeah, like, my goodness, I didn't, like, I just saw my DMs, like, oh no, like, I mean, that's cool,
you
and so much talent.
The floodgates.
Yeah, like, and Risa May, like, who did, like, Malboy for my game, you know, she shouted me out on Twitter, and like, the fact that there's another role available, and I just,
and that's
I just
how
blew
I
it up.
You.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, absolutely. You know those Discord servers I mentioned? All those like channels are dedicated to like scouring Twitter and finding all of those things
That's cool.
then instantly sending it there. And I think like everyone has that specific, like the paid casting calls thing in VAC just unmuted. So whenever there's a new notification there, they just instantly go there and see what it is.
That's fun.
So that's why you get so many replies in like 2 seconds.
Yeah, yeah. My goodness.
Insider info. Wow.
That's cool. That's cool. No, well, I mean, like, it's awesome. I feel like what I should have done was have a already some lines ready and, like, so that it's more refined and they're, like, specifically trying to act that role, maybe. Would that be appropriate to do? Like, or, like, should I just get demos and just that kind of thing? Yeah.
You can do demos is either, like, a big time saver or a big time investment.
Yeah.
Because I have friends who've been like casting for a while now, and they're like, yeah, I can remember voices and I can like place them very well just by listening to demos.
Yeah.
However, I, from an actor's perspective, generally prefer that there's like an actual, like three audition lines. Three audition lines is the standard.
Okay.
Two to four. Yeah. One, that's barely anything to work
that's
with, and
enough.
Five is a bit on the long end, so three's the sweet spot.
Three.
And then you can be like, oh, optional, you can send in your demo reel website and any other information in the email or the Google form or whatever. I love Google Forms for auditions.
Google Forms.
So efficient. But yeah, it's good to have both the options there, because if they show, like, I'm a person with a lot of range, I have, like, lower range, and then I have higher range. So sometimes if I can't show that in an audition, I'll be like, okay, here's my interpretation of X character. However, if you want to hear all my other range, I have a link to the demo like right here underneath if you want to see it. So if you have it as an option, that's good.
Totally. Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, so like three is the sweet spot. Okay. Yeah, that's good.
And
yeah.
Don't make it like a whole paragraph, because you have to listen to hundreds of those, I assume. So don't make it too long for your sake, too.
Okay. So no Shakespeare over here, I guess. Okay.
No soliloquies.
Right. Okay. No, that's good to know. Yeah, because I was just like, I have an idea of how I want each character to sound and everything, so maybe that would be more pointed and more refined if I had lines for them, and then I could be like, okay, that sounds pretty dang close or whatever thing. Yeah.
Another thing you could do is have voice references, because I have a friend who also does more casting, but it's a different friend, I swear. They put down like references for existing characters or existing roles. That's a thing I see very commonly. Like a really funny one that he uses is Rokuzo from Bungo Stray Dogs, which is just, he sounds really cool. So you're like, oh, this character can have a voice reference of X character from X played by whoever.
Mm-hmm.
So
okay.
If you see a video game character that you really like the sound of and you're like, I can sort of envision something similar for my own character,
yeah.
You can put that down as a reference, and then people have like a, you know, they have an idea of what you're going for.
That's a good point. Okay. That's a good. So like, should I have like maybe like links on everything, just like, hey, this is kind of what I'm going for, just like the names of the characters plus the,
you can just like type it down or you can link it. I've seen both, but you can go with whatever.
Cool.
Or if there's like a specific like clip from a show that you've seen, like you see that delivery and you're like, that, just this, you can link that there, and then people will be like, yeah, good point.
So I initially I had no idea about like and I'm sure this comes up somewhat often and everything when it comes to voice acting. I had no idea about unions before.
Unions.
That was
unions
such,
scare me.
I saw SAG-E and I saw like SAG-AFTRA, and there's like a bunch of,
yeah.
They're all just SAGs. They just, everything SAGs. I don't. Is that what is that
okay.
What it is?
So SAG-AFTRA is like the massive American union. I haven't tussled with them too much because I've only just gotten started, so I've barely gotten sent any like union auditions or anything. So basically, SAG-AFTRA actor means that you are part of the union. You, depending on what state you live in, you cannot do non-union work. Non-union work is anything that, you know, the union hasn't been like, yeah, this is like approved.
Okay.
I believe SAG-AFTRA is working on like an indie agreement for like indie games to also be union, so that indie, so that union actors can do indie work as well.
Right.
Because I don't think I will ever be union because I like indie work too much. It's too fun.
Yeah, anyway, that's such a shame.
It is. So it's super complicated because this is very, very US centric.
Okay.
So I might not be the best person to talk about this as an Australian. But if you live in a right to work state, I believe you can do non-union and union work. Like, that's fine.
Okay.
But if you don't, like LA, you can't do non-union work if you're a union. SAG E means SAG eligible. So the way that you get into SAG is that this is so complicated. You get Taft-Hartley'd into SAG so that you are eligible to become SAG. But if you choose to leave the union once, then you become FICOR. It's a hot mess.
Yeah.
But that is the process. So if you're SAG E and you choose to go in the union and then you leave the union, that's FICOR.
Mm.
If you're SAG E, because you got a job, you successfully Taft-Hartley it. It depends on how much they want you, really.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you get into the union, you are now union, and you get like a card and you have to like pay a little money, but you get some money back from like, you know, booking higher paying union jobs and stuff. It's
sure.
It's seen as an investment, and it depends on what work you book the most. So
I see.
It's super complicated.
Yeah, I feel like I probably wouldn't. I mean, like, the idea of union I get, but I don't think I would do a union if I were a voice actor. It just sounds like it's so limiting. And I guess, like...
It really depends. Because yeah. There's never been more voice acting work ever. Because, like, now games are super huge, animation is super huge.
Yeah.
Remote projects have never been bigger.
Right.
So there's definitely no shortage of work, per se, but there's no shortage of work, but it really depends on the type of work you want to do.
Sure.
Like, a very famous example in the recent past, I don't know how true this is, but anime dubs were, like, for the most part, non-union, and they were paid, anime dubs are notoriously very low-paying.
Right.
Even though they're quite difficult to do in practice.
They get so much hate, too.
They get so much hate.
It's so much
hate. Every time I go see the Ace Attorney bloopers from Eric Ville, he's just like, people hate lawyers, but not as much as they hate dub actors. And I'm like, you know what, Eric Ville? You're not that wrong.
That's funny.
Yeah. A lot more video games are union, which is why you'll see actors like Steve Bloom, Yuri Lowenthal, all of the union actors just in video games. And you don't really see them much in like anime stuff anymore, which is kind of sad, but... They have to do what they have to do to get that bag, you know?
Sure, sure.
It's fine.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, because I've heard a decent amount about it and everything, and I actually had some interest from some union people on the project, and, like, just the ask is so heavy, like, especially for indie. Like, it's just not possible.
The pay rate... And everything's in US dollars too, which is good for me because I'm the one getting paid, but not so good for indie devs, especially if they're not in the US. But most of the rates are listed on the GVAA rate guide, which will tell you
basically
every single type of thing that you can do. So for example, like animation and dubbing, feature films and like animations and stuff, the union range is usually like 1,025 it's a session fee per 11 to 22 minute episode. And then for like dubbing, it's like 75 an hour, which sounds like a lot, granted.
Yeah.
But imagine Crunchyroll only brings you in for like 2 hours a week and then like you're done.
Right.
Like, if you dub one episode, it's gonna take that 1 or 2 hours depending on how big your role is. And you're basically done for the week.
Sure.
Like, you gotta go find work elsewhere.
Yeah, yeah. The inconsistency, that would make me nervous for sure.
Yeah, the inconsistency is very stressful. Which is why people also branch out into, like, narration and commercial. Because commercial pays a lot, but also a lot of people find it mega boring. Because you're just like, you can pay $10 for Spotify. And then they give you a couple Ks.
Oh man, yeah. I actually, silly me. I contact Klinkenbeard, like One Piece voice actress for Luffy, and I was able to contact her through, I think, Instagram, if I remember right. I'm just a huge One Piece fan, And yeah, I probably shouldn't have, but and but
It's
yeah,
fine. The past is in the past.
I know. And they're like, oh yeah, like 2 pages, that'll be around 4,000. And I'm like, oh, I
Yeah, once
see.
you get to like Colleen Klinkenbeard status, you can name your price.
Yeah.
You can like name your price, and studios will have to fold to you.
Sure. Sure, yeah.
Because they have that experience. They have the credits to back it up,
Totally.
and they have the skills. So they can go this or nothing.
Yeah, no, I mean, as overwhelming as it sounded, I'm like, well, if I had someone of like, I don't know, of a certain legendary status like that, like it could be really cool for the game, but I just like, I don't know, I like working with up and coming, you know, as well. So it's
Yes. And
yeah,
that's also
so.
all the people I'm like personally friends with. So I'm like, yes, hire my friends, do it.
Totally. I guess so. If you're not in SAG and all that kind of stuff, then like, and I've seen back and forth and everything about like how you should evaluate your own like cost hourly and everything. If it's not like a free, you know, gig and everything, like, do you have any kind of advice for people who are trying to get into it and like trying to figure out how much they should charge and that kind of thing?
Okay, this is a bit more complicated
Yeah.
because if you set your rates low, you're saying you're allowing people to also pay your peers a similar amount because they can go like, "Oh, I know someone who can do it for $5 instead of like your actual rate." So, bye.
Sure.
It's the whole Fiverr thing where you can get someone on Fiverr to do it for like $20, but also you're shortchanging everyone else. So there are a few rate guides that exist. If you're operating in the indie space, the VAC Indie Rate Guide, I'll send you a link to all of these later, don't
Thank you.
worry,
Thank you.
is a really good resource, again, made by Kira Buckland, who is absolutely fantastic, about all the different like tiers of payments that you can have for different kinds of work. They
So
have
cool.
per word rates, per line rates, per hour rates. These days people tend to prefer per hour rates because,
Yeah.
you know, if you pay per line, then there's like a chance that you can spend a lot more time on like a few lines and not get
Yeah.
your session minimums and whatnot.
I can see that.
So generally, hourly rates are preferred, especially if you're starting to go into like more professional work.
That makes sense. Yeah, I would love to have those links for sure. And I don't want to keep you if you if you your time frame and everything. I'm not sure what your
Ah,
time
nah, don't
frame
worry
was,
about
but
it. I got time.
okay. Yeah, I think so in the past it's kind of just like I had charged before like for a whole page or whatever. I'm like, okay, this page and this page, but I think I like the idea of hourly too, because if I like want, I don't know, I don't want to short anyone and feel make them feel uncomfortable or whatever and everything. So I think that makes a lot of sense is time. Yeah.
Yeah, it also depends if you're doing like live direction or not, because some of a lot of the indie projects that go like, oh yeah, it's like $3 a line for X number of lines, usually that's self-directed. Like I've done mobile games that were self-directed, paid by the line.
Oh, okay.
So it really depends on what kind of work it is. Of course, I would prefer the live sessions with like the proper like
Yeah.
hourly stuff, but sometimes as the actor, you're not always in a place to be able to negotiate, especially if it's with your employers. So there's always that to take into account, which is why the whole union thing exists.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Yeah, I guess I've been back and forth on that whole idea, but I get why it exists for sure. So did you have any kind of like equivalent in Australia, or is that just like only American kind of thing?
I'm sure Australia has a union, but I have no idea what I'm doing with it because, believe it or not, I have booked like zero local work. I sound so heavily not Australian that I can't even do commercial work in Australia because they want someone who goes with the new Hyundai, Isuzu, whatever. And I'm like, I can't do that. I don't sound naturally Australian.
I
That
see.
sucks.
I see.
So I think the most I've ever done is like audition for an indie Australian animation studio, but like that's about it. I'm not super familiar. Look, Australian voiceover work is like 90% commercial, which is why a lot of Australian actors are trying to like break into the more international space. And a very good example of
Totally.
that was the Melbourne Comic Con panel called Aussies and Anime by Dom Din, who is also fantastic and the first Australian actor to make it into SAG.
That's okay.
Amazing stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah, that's a panel. I will send that to you as well. Sure. It's a very good way into understanding how there are like 7 Australians in anime ever.
Are they supposed to sound Australian or are they supposed to just
There's like a show called Prince of Tennis with like actual Australian characters and they cast Australian actors for that, so like
that's cool.
Yes, they do sound Australian in that one, but in my case it was just, oh yeah, can you do general UK? And I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can do that.
Did you change your voice to do more work and stuff, or is that just kind of normally how you talk and everything?
Okay, so my background, I started singing when I was like 4 and a half, so I don't think I ever had like a very stable voice before that.
Okay.
So it just kind of evolved to the point where I have like very intense head voice range, but I also have like lower down chest voice range from doing musical theater. So it depends from person to person, because yeah, a lot of voice actors don't have necessarily like a music background. Some of them have just like a regular on-camera acting background, or some of them just wanted to start, you know? So it depends on who you are, what your prior training is, and what training you're doing now.
Totally. Did you ever have an Australian accent by chance, or did you never did?
No. See, when I say things like Melbourne and Macca's, it comes out, but nowhere else.
Okay. Okay. I mean, no. I mean, that's just like, I mean, it's just your area, and I very much absorb my area of where I'm at sometimes, and like, I was just like in Ireland once for like a week and I took up the accent, not even meaning to. And I feel like maybe I accidentally like, you know, like what is this guy doing? You know, he's obviously not, like, you know, but I just like,
I mean,
being
depends.
Around it, you know? Yeah.
Yeah. If you're around it and you pick it up, it makes sense, because I'm Singaporean. And when I go back to Singapore, I'll see like French dudes with a better Singlish accent than me. And I'll be like, I'm so embarrassed. I'm so embarrassed. That's... But yeah, if you're around the area like and you pick it up, that's just how it is. Mm. It's like how I sound very Northern American.
Mm, yeah.
I watched so much Disney when I was a kid.
Oh, that's fun. Okay. Yeah, I like the Southern accent when, well, I try to like minimize it and everything, but it comes out sometimes. But yeah, that I had to really flush it out when I moved up north, because I kept on getting made fun of. It was kind of, yeah.
That's so sad.
Oh, I know. Yeah, like the different regions talk so differently and have like their own lingo and everything. So it's,
oh, definitely.
You know, it's crazy. But yeah, so yeah, we went over quite a few things though. Like, and I do appreciate that. Like, you're willing to do like the links and stuff. I don't know. I really wanted to be able to support people that are like watching and be able to like, hey, like if you're a voice actor, voiceover person, like, or interested in that, like check this out. And, you know, here's actual like links that might be helpful for you. And I don't know. You said there was like a Discord that like a lot of voice actors go into.
VAC. There's actually a lot of VAC. Discords that people go into. There's smaller servers started by other people as well, but the biggest one is VAC. You don't get a lot of people to talk to in general there, so it might just be worth looking up voice acting on like Discord and then like scrolling to some of the smaller ones and being like, hi, I'm starting out. Like, voice actors love helping each other out.
Yeah.
Like, the whole community depends on Michelle Barusso Jr. tagging like 100 people in the comments of every casting call. So like,
that's
bring
fun.
Each other up, ask for help if you need it. You will probably get it at some point if you just ask. It's all right. Hell, you can even ask me. I will try my best to help. I'm not like the most experienced by any measure of anything, but I'll point you in the right direction. I can at least count on that.
That's really cool. Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, and yeah,
thank
I definitely
you for having me.
Absolutely. Yeah, I definitely want to have like all your links as well below, and yeah, I appreciate you being on and talking with me.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No